Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. I don't know if we would call it a resolution, but the new year has been an opportunity for North Korea's Kim Jong-un to turn the page in his nuclear program. North Korea has claimed a successful test of the country's first hydrogen bomb. What does a North Korean thermonuclear weapon mean for the region? And how seriously should anyone take this New Year's nuclear resolution? Joining us is David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. David, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
How do American officials confirm something like this, a claim like this, beyond a ripple in the earth?
Well, there are a couple ways. First, the ripple right now, just the size of it, the seismic pattern that it left, would leave room for considerable skepticism that this was actually a hydrogen bomb test. And we can come back a little bit later to why that is. But the only way to tell for sure is through the atmospheric testing that takes place from a large group of sniffer planes that the United States keeps in Japan and runs up along the North Korean coast, hoping to trap some of the atmospheric particles that get sent out after a nuclear test. And that should give the definitive evidence, if you can get the right particles at the right time, and it depends a lot on the winds, about whether or not it was an H-bomb, a thermonuclear weapon, whether it was fueled by uranium or plutonium. But these tests don't always work.
A thermonuclear bomb, would that be technology that was available to the North Koreans through IQCON, who apparently supplied them with what became the weapon we know exists?
The bomb design that IQCON gave to the North Koreans and also to the Libyans, which is how the U.S. and others have seen copies of it, and presumably to the Iranians, was of an early Chinese test of a traditional weapon. Getting the plans for how one would put together a thermonuclear weapon wouldn't be that hard. Making the engineering work was a completely different story. It's quite complicated because a normal atomic weapon is a fission weapon, and to make a thermonuclear weapon, you then have to also start a separate fusion process. So it's basically a two-step bomb. And that's pretty complicated. It took the United States, which first detonated its first thermonuclear weapon in 1952, a long time to figure it out. The four other declared nuclear powers, Russia, China, Britain, France, have all succeeded at it. But we don't have any evidence, for example, that the Indians and the Pakistanis have. And we don't know about Israel, which may never have tested a weapon. So it would be pretty tricky, and there's reason to doubt whether the North Koreans are up to it.
How does the strategic symbolism of this for Kim Jong-un relate to the already strategic significance of having a fission bomb? What does he get out of this?
Only to a matter of degree, a reminder to the rest of the world that he's still out there, that while we were focused on Iran and the Iranian nuclear negotiations, that he was chugging ahead. He probably has a mixed view of the Iranian negotiations. On the one hand, the Iranians gave up for some period of time their ability to build a weapon. On the other hand, they had sanctions or are about to have sanctions against them lifted. Sanctions against North Korea aren't going away for a long time, if ever. But this is a reminder to the world and to Washington that the size of the North Korean arsenal has increased significantly, that their missile capabilities are improving. And it's only a matter of time before they figure out how to mount a nuclear weapon on top of one of those missiles.
David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you.